Blog Talk Radio.
First Peter 1:15, as he which is holy, which has called you, is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, or in all manner of living. Hallelujah. And the only way that you can do that is when you fall in love with Jesus.
Separation. Separation from sin, separation from the world. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 14, which says simply, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Be ye holy, for I am holy, God says. If we expect to have the Holy Spirit dwelling in our lives, it makes a lot of sense. We must be holy. Holiness really means being Christ-like. Holiness means every aspect of living for God. It's a privilege to be holy. It's a privilege not to be bound to sin. It's a privilege not to be addicted to alcohol. It's a privilege not to be addicted to smoking. It's a privilege not to be bound by lust and bitterness and envy. It's the most powerful thing in the world that when somebody treats you wrong, instead of treating them wrong back, you can say, look, nobody's going to manipulate me. Nobody's going to tell me how to think. The devil can't make me do this. No other person can provoke me into an ungodly situation. But through the power of the Holy Ghost, I can respond with a meek and gentle and quiet and peaceable spirit under all circumstances.
Well, don't y'all over there think of, well, y'all say you can't do this, you can't do that, and you can't do certain things. You don't matter how long you talk to them. Until they get a revelation of who God is, they're not going to understand what holiness is. An optional way, another plate building to get into and just say you're a believer, but it is the only way to travel and to become a true, full-hearted believer.
Well, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. We are so happy that you could join us today, Kingdom of God Ministries. To our listening audience, those of you who are listening by far and near, we are just so thankful that you could join us. We are continuing our teaching on the churches of Revelation. Today we will be teaching on the Church of Philadelphia, the true church, the church that held on to God's word. And we will be coming to you live. To our listening audience, I want to just say happy birthday to Brother Dion, a faithful member of Kingdom of God Ministries, and may God bless you on your birthday. And we just looking for God to do some great things in this year. And keep the Kingdom of God Ministries in prayer. We're going through a transitional period. We are seeking the Lord on where we're currently meeting at the headquarters in Canton. And we want to just see God and see if he wants us to continue meeting at our location in Canton, Georgia, or whatever. What do we have for Kingdom of God Ministries? Because we know it's about him, and we don't want to get caught up on our own self-serving desires, but we want to do what is pleasing to God. So before we start, we will just open with prayer. And Father God, we just thank you. We thank you for our listening audience. We thank you for giving us, Lord God, a platform where we could teach your word, we could teach the unadulterated word truth, Lord God. Lord God, we do this without any covetous spirit because we know it's about you, and we know that you're gonna make things what we need, you will provide for us. Lord God, we ask that you touch the listening audience, touch the people that hear our voices, Lord God. We may never see them in this life, but Lord God, you know who they are. And some of the people listening, they may not have a church home. They may not have a place where they can assemble. But Lord God, we ask that, we thank you that you, by via the internet, we could connect with those who may not, we don't even know if they have a church. We don't even know if they're going through persecution. But Lord, if they're listening, we thank you that they can tune in and they can hear the word of God. So Lord God, we just give you praise. We give you honor. We give you the glory in Jesus' name, amen. Okay, like we talked last week, we had Sister Malone. She brought a beautiful teaching on the Church of Sardis. So we will continue our pre-teaching on the Church of Philadelphia, and I will begin with reading the scriptures. It says, "Unto the angel of the Church of Philadelphia write, these things says he who is holy, he who is true, he who has the keys of David, he who opens and no one shuts, and shuts no one opens. I know your works. See, I have set before you an open door, and no one can shut it. For you have a little strength, have kept my word, and have not denied my name. Indeed, I will make those of the synagogue of Satan who say they are Jews and are not, but lie in thee. I will make them to come and worship before your feet, and to know that I have loved you. Because you have kept my commandments to preserve, I also will keep you from the hour of trial, which shall come upon the whole world, to test those who dwell on the earth. Behold, I am coming quickly. Hold fast what you have, that no one may take your crown. He who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go out no more. I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God. And I will write on him my new name. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." Amen. So we know that Philadelphia was a city of some importance, founded in the 2nd century B.C., by Attalus, king of Pergamon. In honor of his predecessors, we see the city was strategically situated in a fertile river valley on the main road from Sardis to Laodicea, directly east of Smyrna. The message to Philadelphia has captured the imagination of Christians through the centuries because no other message, not even to the one to Smyrna, is so rich in promises. Philadelphia sets the stage for the first promise, which is given unconditionally to the angel at Philadelphia and thus to the whole congregation. So we see that God is talking directly to Philadelphia. And I wanted to bring out some claim the open door is simply a guarantee of salvation or eternal life, like the promise to the overcomers in all seven churches. Another way of saying it is that I will also keep you from the hour of trial that is going to come up on the whole world to test those who live on the earth. And you could reference that to the two witnesses in 11 and 12, or the child born of a woman in 12:15. They will be raptured or taken up to God in heaven before the wrath of God is poured out on the earth. And we talked about the 10 virgins last week, how five were wise, five were foolish, the foolish, they went to try to get the oil, but while they were away, the bridegroom came and took his church. This is what God is saying to the church now. Those that are faithful, those that is true, I'm coming back for you. Hold on to your promise. And I was meditating on the scripture, and a lot of times people, you know, we know Hollywood has sensationalized the rapture, and you see people coming out their closets. You know, he said it could be just as simple as you go to sleep at night. And when you wake up the next morning, you're with him. It may not be the sensationalism how Hollywood portray it. You may just simply lay down in your bed and he call us home. Next thing you know, you wake up in a new place with the king. So I just want to be part. I just want to, when he called the trumpet, I want to be the one who is able to rise up with him. I don't want to be like some of the churches that he rebuked. I don't want to be like Ephesus. I don't want to be like Laodicea, which we will be teaching on next week. But I want to be like Philadelphia. Yes, we know Philadelphia was a true church. We even see the remnants of the pillars that are still standing to this day. But I want to be where God looks down and say, you are faithful. You have held fast to the little bit that you do have. You have not compromised my name. You have not compromised my word, but you have taught my word. Are we saying that it's just some little church tucked over in the corner that's teaching the only true gospel? Certainly not. God said no. Some big church is teaching the word, but it's going to kind of become a famine in the land in the last days because you're not going to get the true word. This is not a blight to the big mega churches. But if you're not teaching the word, you need to search the scriptures. Let's go on. The problem here as at Smyrna is the presence, when he says the synagogue of Satan, probably a group of Judaizer Gentiles who claim to be Jews, though they are not, but are liars. Ignatius, as we have seen, mentioned Judaizing Gentiles in Philadelphia a few decades later, and he said, John's vision, here is the Christ, will make them come and fall down at your feet and acknowledge that I have loved you. The promise echoes such biblical passages as Isaiah 45:14, Isaiah 49:23, and Isaiah 60:14, in which Gentile nations come to pay homage to Israel and Israel God. The message is a reminder that the synagogue of Satan is all over, and all of their present allegiance to Judaism is no more than a lie and a pretense to avoid persecution. In the end, the angel and his congregation will be vindicated against those bogus Jews, for even with little strength, they have kept my word and have not denied my name. I'm going to present the question to you. Are you holding on to the name Yeshua, Jesus? Because a lot of times people say, well, I'm a Christian, but when they get before their friends or their coworkers, they deny his name. How do I deny his name? By living something that is not pleasing to God. You can deny your faith in Jesus Christ by compromising. We talked on Thyatira, the compromising church. Are you compromising the name of Jesus Christ today? Just to get the riches, just to get the fame, just to look like the world so the world will accept you? Well, the world did not accept these Christians. They're not going to think highly of you. And I was saying earlier, we already had church service. We had a brother call in, and we prayed, and the Spirit of God came in mightily. But what are you going to compromise to give what you want? God forbid. That's why he commended Philadelphia. And he said, you have held on. Listen here. He said, I know your work. See, I have set before you an open door, and no one can shut it, for you have a little strength, have kept my word, and have not denied my name. You've been faithful. You've been true to what I have given you. And you will not compromise. And it goes for me to open. I had a dream last night. And in the dream, I was asking the Lord. I said, Lord, I'm seeking your wisdom. You know, me and Pastor, we seeking wisdom. And so I was told in the dream that there would be a man, and he would visit the congregation, and he was supposed to be coming. So this particular person shows up in the dream, in the vision, whatever you want to call it. And I was telling him how we're just seeking wisdom from God and how he wants us to take the church, Kingdom of God Ministries. I say, we have a blog talk radio, and I say, thousands listen in. I said, but when we fellowship here at the center, we don't see anybody. I said, and I was told that there's supposed to be a person coming into the midst, and he's going to show us some wisdom. And as I'm talking to this man that had came in our midst, I thought, and the Holy Spirit say, you're the man. Well, as we began to talk, there was a lot of interference going on. So the pastor, Bob, got up, and he was trying to find out where all this distraction, where all the interference was coming on. And the Lord showed him where the interference was, and he was able to stop the interference. But I remember him picking up the offering bucket, and there was a few dollars in there. And he said, praise God. What am I saying? When you start doing the work of the Lord, there are going to be interferences coming. There are going to be some distractions to try to get you off your path that God has set before you. But what did he tell Smyrna? Hold fast. He said, you have a little strength, but you have kept my word, and you have not denied my name. It's good to fellowship amongst the saints. It's good to forsake and not the assembling of yourself together. I do not use this radio platform to say that you should be comfortable sitting in your home listening to it. But if you can't get out to a physical location, then the Internet is good for you. We need each other. We are helpers one to the other. We encourage each other, because with the persecution and things that is coming up on the body of Christ today, we need to strengthen each other. Let's go on. I wanted to bring out the scriptures. He said, the true God, he said, you have kept my, because you have kept my command and preserved, I will also keep you from the hour of the trial which shall come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth. Now, over here, God is saying he is the true God. His word is true. His word will never fail. Over in John 5:20, he said, and we know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding that we may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. See, God promised them eternal life. What greater gift can you have than the spirit of, than a living God telling you, I will write your name. You see what I'm saying? I will give you a new name. This is what we should be seeking. Behold, I'm coming quickly. Hold fast to what you have, that no one may take your crown. When you have the word of God rooted and grounded in you, you hold fast to that. Because like he showed me in the vision, there's a lot of distractions coming in the land. And if you don't hold fast, then you can get distracted. You can get caught up. You can start seeking the things of the world where you're not seeking the things of God. Revelation 1:5, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sin in his own blood. There was a price. Hey, Jesus gave his blood. He shed his blood for us. There was a price paid. All God asks us to do is hold fast to his word. Revelation 19:11. And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called faithful and true, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. God is calling for a holy nation. A holy people. All this stuff that is being taught and all this that open doors to sin nature, God is not pleased with it, saints. Amen. Let's go on, and then I'm going to get out your way. His sovereignty. These are attributes of God. He's the true God. Then his sovereignty, Daniel 2:44. And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. Luke 1:32-33. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there shall be no end. Isaiah 60:12. For the nation and the kingdom will not serve thee, for the nation and kingdom that will not serve thee shall perish. Yea, those nations shall be utterly wasted. Do you see the sovereignty of God? He who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go out no more. I will write him on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the new Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God, and I will write on him my new name. Think about that, saint. He will write on you a new name. And when we go over to Peter, how he said, Peter, I wanted to read that about, he said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell, he said, and when Jesus said unto him, blessed thou art Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. First, Peter was Simon Barjona, but you see where Jesus changed his name to Peter, which means rock. God is going to give us a new name. God is going to write upon our name a new name. As newborn babes, we should desire the sincere milk of the word. These are some attributes of a Christian who is seeking wholeheartedly after God, because they desire the sincere milk of the word. They're not going to be like the church of Laodicea, but they don't want the word. They're going to embrace the word. As newborn babes in the preceding chapter, 1 Peter 1 and 2, the apostle states that they have been born again, and as the newborn infant desires the ailment which nature has provided for it, so they, being born again, born from above, should as earnestly require that heavenly nourishment which is suited to their new nature. And this the apostle calls the sincere milk of the word, or as some translate, the rational, unadulterated milk, the pure doctrines of the gospel as delivered in the epistles and gospels as preached by the apostles and their successors. You see what I'm saying? We as Christians should be desiring the true milk of the word. These are some attributes of a true believer, because they're going to seek the word. They want to know the truth. They're not going to want watered-down gospel. They will vomit that up. They want the word. They want to hold fast to the word of God. They want to be, so God will recognize them as faithful and true. Amen? So we only have 60 minutes, and I wanted to bring those scriptures out, but at this time, I'm going to yield the floor over to Pastor Bobby, and you guys be blessed. We love you, and just keep holding on, because God don't look at the little bit you have. He say you had a little faith, but you were faithful, you were true, and you held on. Don't let the distractions get you off of your path, what God has called you to do. We love you. Be blessed. Amen.
Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We want to thank the Lord for the word that has just gone forth. And what I would like to say before I go into any of the word or anything else is that we want to say to everyone out there, to everyone that is listening, to be encouraged in the Lord. Be encouraged in the Lord. Why? Because God is honoring what you do for him as you do them out of your heart in reference to the love that you have for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. When you have given your heart to the Lord, when you have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, when you are dedicated to his word, and when you are joined to his word and you are seeking the things of God through his word, and you have been filled with the Spirit of the living God, the Holy Ghost, and God is dealing with you, then you are pleasing the Lord. When you are living for God, when you are keeping his commandments, when you are living a Christ-like life by the study of the word of God. And the scripture tells us that the Spirit, the sword of the Spirit, is the word of God. Now, why am I saying that? Because a sword is an offensive weapon, but it is not only an offensive weapon, it is a defensive weapon also. So the word of God can be an offensive weapon to the enemy, and it can also give you a sense of defense from the enemy. So that means that we have to stay in and be strong in the word of the Lord, because that is the only way we will have some strength and power against the enemy by the word and the Spirit of the living God. And that's basically what the Lord was telling the church of Philadelphia. He told them that because they kept his word, you notice he said his word. We don't want to get caught up in our words. We don't want to get caught up in another man's words. We don't want to get caught up in so much doctrine, tradition, and denomination. We don't want to get caught up in those things. And I'm not speaking against those things, but what I'm saying is we don't want to get caught up in those things, neglecting the word of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Because he said that denotes your strength. What? The word that you have in your heart. Jesus said that he was going to write his words, his commandments, not on tablets of stone, but in and on our hearts, within us. In us should be the word of God. In us should the operation of the Spirit of God move. Not just outwardly, but inwardly. Because when the word is within us, it's going to manifest things out of us. And the Spirit of God, the giftings of God, the fruit of the Spirit will begin to manifest in and through us. Why? Because we have ingested and have eaten and have taken into us the word of the living God, and that is our strength, and that is our faith. And that's what the Lord is looking at, and that's what the Lord commended Philadelphia on. Because one thing I would like to bring out is Philadelphia was a city or a city-state that a particular body of Christ was in, that the church was in Philadelphia. But one thing I would like to say to you is this. Philadelphia was also a city that had a whole lot of occult activity happening in that city. It was a lot of demonic activity in that city. It was a lot of witchcraft in that city. It was a lot of idol worshiping in that city. There was many doctrines and teachings and words that were not of God in that city. But the church at Philadelphia didn't listen to those words of the cultists, didn't listen to the words of the people involved in witchcraft and idolatry, They didn't listen to those words. They didn't seek those words coming from the world. They sought the words of Jesus Christ, and that's what they stood on, despite everything happening around them. And our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ honored that. He spoke of that because they weren't distracted by the things happening in Philadelphia. They didn't let that come into the spirit. Okay? They didn't let that come into the spirit. They did not allow those who called themselves something, and they were not. Called themselves Jews, and they were not. They didn't listen to their doctrine. But the Lord said something in reference to those people who were acting like they're Jews and were not, because they were just acting like that to escape persecution or to escape being ridiculed by others around them. The Lord said that those people would worship the Lord in front of them, in front of the saints of the living God. Those who were acting like there was something that were not, they would eventually come to the Lord. And despite those looking at them, they would surrender to God and worship the true and living God, the true and living Jesus Christ. They would do that. Look, in these days and time, people of the Most High God, we're living in an evil generation. We're living at the end times. And the scripture tells us that it's not going to get any better. It's going to get worse. It's going to get worse. It's going to get worse. There is a famine in the land. But it's not a famine for food and water. It is a famine for the word of the living God spoken and preached truly as the scriptures bring out. Not watered down, not mixed with worldly doctrines, not mixed with occultic doctrines, not mixed with humanism, not mixed with occultism, humanism, socialism, none of that stuff. It's strictly the word of God, strictly the word of God, strictly the word of God as Jesus Christ taught and preached and delivered through his apostles, his disciples, and the true people of God. Now, I want to bring out some things. Now, the Lord said something, and I want to bring this out. I want everyone that's listening to not be ashamed of the word of God. Do not be ashamed of the life that you're living for God. Don't be fearful, for fear is not of God. Fear is not of God, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of a sound mind. Has God given us the spirit of the living God? So we don't have to be fearful. Now, if you're going to be fearful, don't be fearful of God in the sense of a trembling fear, but reverence him. Reverence him, obey him, and be strong in him. Give him honor and glory and praise, because God saved you through his son, Jesus Christ. The things that Jesus Christ did on the cross, when he went up on the cross, when he died on the cross, when he was buried, put in a solid rock tomb, buried and resurrected on the third day, he made a way for our salvation. He gave us the keys to the kingdom of God, whereas we can be with him. Well, we can live eternally with Christ Jesus. And nobody can close that door of salvation when we accept the Lord Jesus Christ. Nobody can close that door. So, people of the Most High God, rejoice in the things that Jesus Christ has done for us. Rejoice in his word. Rejoice in his spirit. Rejoice in the power and authority that God has given us through his Son, Christ Jesus, through the word of the living God, through the Holy Ghost, through the Spirit of God. And we can go on in Christ. We don't have to be swayed by any wind of doctrine. We don't have to be looking here and looking there. We keep our eyes fixed on Christ Jesus. We keep our eyes fixed on the Word of God. And God will do things in your life that will strengthen you and cause you to grow in Christ Jesus more and more. See, salvation is just the beginning of our walk with Christ. I'm going to say something. Now, everyone that has had a child and you have children, when you just bring that young baby home, that newborn home from the hospital, you expect that child to grow. If that child doesn't grow, something is wrong. If that child is grown in body, okay, he's 10, he's 11, he's 12 years old, but he's still acting like he's a newborn, now you know something is wrong. There's something wrong with that. Yes, he was born, but he's still a newborn, but he's 11 or 12 years old in his mind. You know there's something wrong with that. That is the importance of the word and growth in Jesus Christ. When you first get saved, when you first accept the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, that is the beginning. Now, you are supposed to grow in Christ Jesus, but how do you grow? You grow in Christ Jesus through his word, by his spirit. And your spirit will grow on that word. And you can mature in Christ Jesus. So it's not a matter of physical years that determines your maturity in Christ, but it is a matter of the word of God that you have ingested into your spirit, that you have eaten, that you have received in your mind and in your spirit as you allow the Spirit of God to manifest and give you the revelation of the Word of God, which builds up your faith, which matures you in Christ Jesus. That's what Jesus was commending the Philadelphian church on. Because they had a little strength. They had a little faith, and that faith and that strength was by and through the Word of God, which is, what is the Word of God? Jesus Christ is the Word of God, what? Incarnate. So as you read the Word of God, the more of the Spirit of God manifest in you, and the more Christ-like you become. And the more Christ-like you become, the more the Spirit of God is going to operate and move through you, and people will see the manifestation of the kingdom of God on the earth. Hallelujah. Praise your holy name. So look at what God has done for us. Now, not only that, when you keep the word of God, when you learn the things of God, Jesus said in John, I'm going to just read this, John 17, he said, Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me. Let me just do it this way. All right, praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise your holy name. God is wonderful. He's good. I mean, when you think about the goodness of God, only thing you can do is praise him. Lift up holy hands. Give him glory. Give him honor. When you think of the goodness of God, when you think of what the Lord has done for us, when you think of how he considers us, how when you think of how he's never left us, he's never left us. He sent us his precious Holy Ghost to keep us, to guide us, to teach us all the things of Christ Jesus. Glory to God. But in John 17, And I'm going to read some scriptures here. It says, I have manifest thy name unto men, unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Jesus spoke the word of God. He spoke what God, Yahweh, Elohim, gave him. And he held, Jesus Christ held back nothing. He gave us everything that the Father gave him. And they kept the word. He said, now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and I have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them. Listen, listen. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. You all, everybody listening out there, that believes in the Lord Jesus Christ, that has accepted his word, that is filled with the Spirit, you're not the world's. You belong to God. The word says right here that Jesus is not praying for the world like that, but he's praying for you. He's praying for me. Now, what is he praying? He said, I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine, and all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. Jesus Christ is glorified in him. Now, what is that saying? Jesus Christ is going to manifest himself through us. But how is he going to do that? He's going to do that by and through what we're talking about. His word, the Bible, the scripture, the words of the living God is how he's going to manifest himself through us. So that's why he's praying for us. That the world will see the truth of Jesus Christ through us by his word and the anointing and the power of the Holy Ghost. So let's not get caught up in the things of this world. Let's not get caught up in carnal things. Let's not get caught up in money. Let's not get caught up in what we see. Materialism. Let's not get caught up in that. Because the scripture says that all these things that we see, they're going to pass away. But the scriptures say the word of God is eternal. It will never pass away. So what does that mean? That means that we need to have the word of God within us because it is eternal. And if you have the word of God in you, the way the scripture says, you're going to have eternity in Christ Jesus. For Jesus tells us, he said, fear not the man that can just destroy the body. He said, fear that one that can destroy both body and soul and cast it into hell. That's what Jesus said. Now, what's going to keep you out of hell? Jesus Christ, the Word of God, the Holy Ghost, obedience to his word, living his word, acting out the word of the living God. Meditating on the word of the living God. Getting his word, getting his spirit working in and through you. Glory to God. Glory to God. So many words, that's what he was saying to the church of Philadelphia. He said, I'm going to bring out something else. He said that you kept my word and you have not denied his name. And he loves us for that. Say something about the word of God. When you get in the word of God, you truly get it in you the way you're supposed to. You're not going to deny the Lord. Why? Because the word of God is in you and the word of God is alive. It's real. It's from God. and you cannot deny what is real. You really can't deny the truth of the living God when it's moving within you, when it's operating in you, when people are seeing and realizing there's something different about you. What is that difference? It is your relationship with Jesus Christ through the word of the living God. And he honors that. So I want you to be encouraged. I want you to be encouraged. I want you to be encouraged that the Lord Jesus Christ has not left you. He will never leave you because he loves you. He loves you. Do you hear me? He loves you. God loves you. Jesus Christ loves you. He loves you more than you can ever imagine, and it is spoken in evidence through his word. So if you're down, if you're depressed, if you need deliverance, you get in his word. Learn of his word. Eat that word up. Chew it up. Chew it up. Eat that word. Eat it. It's sweet. It's good. Now, let me say this to you. I don't want anybody out there to think that because you might go through some trouble, you might get a headache, something bad or negative might happen to you, that God stopped loving you. No, he hasn't. And he won't. Circumstances will not cause our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to stop loving you and to stop caring about you. No. The enemy would have you believe that. But when trouble comes your way, when you go through problems and tribulations, then that's when you go and you bend your knee and you get into the word of God and you seek help through his word by prayer and supplication. But one thing I want you to know, don't ever base your life in Christ with the circumstances that's happening in your life. You keep your eyes on Christ Jesus. You keep your eyes in the word of the living God, because that's where your help is coming from. That's where your strength is coming from. That's where the Spirit of God will come alive in you, because he will give you the revelation of his word in your situation. That's what he was bringing out to Philadelphia. He comforted them. He let them know that he loved them. He let them know that he was pleased with them. He let them know that they had some strength and they had some faith. And he honored them in that. So I'm telling you all out there that God in Christ, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, is honoring you in your faith, is honoring you in your strength. Hold on, hold on, hold on. Don't let go of God's unchanging hand. Hold what you got. Jesus told them, the church of Philadelphia, to hold on to what they had in him. I'm telling you out there, hold on to what you got in Christ Jesus, because he will never leave you and he will never forsake you. I don't care what comes or what goes, God is there. Our Lord and Savior is there, and he will keep you and he will guide you and he will strengthen you. Yes, he will. Yes, he will. Yes, he will. Don't fret because of what the enemy is doing. Because our Lord and Savior has given you authority and power and strength over everything that the enemy has by and through his word. Get in his word. Bend your knee. Philadelphia, God honored. Honored what you do for him. He honors your faith in him. He honors your strength in the word. Glory to God. He honors your faith in him. Don't say that, I don't have it. I don't have faith. Yes, you do. Don't say I'm weak. Say you're strong, because you are strong in Christ Jesus. Jesus said if you have the faith as the size of a mustard seed, you can say to that mountain, be removed and jump off into the sea, and it'll do it. Saints, Philadelphia, it don't take a whole lot. It takes what you got in Christ Jesus. Now, we only have a few minutes left. We have 9 minutes left. We have a call-in number 1-323-375-0849. If you want to call in, you can. But one thing I would like to say to you all in the Lord is just keeping in my spirit is just for you all to be encouraged. Don't let the enemy get you down. You have the upper hand in Christ Jesus. Don't look at the circumstances around you and say that God is not with me. No, no, no. You keep your hands in the hands of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, regardless of what happens, regardless of what people do or say to you or about you. We're living in the last days. Do you hear me? We're living in the last days. And as I said before, it's not going to get any better. Now, I'm not saying that for you to get depressed or throw your hands up. I'm saying that for you to grow closer and get deeper in the things of God. We got to grow up. We got to become more mature in the Lord, because we're going to have to trust and have faith in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And the only way that you're going to increase in maturity is through the word of the living God. Not men, not government, not money, not material, but Jesus Christ. It all, I say it like this, people of the Most High God, everything is summed up when the deal go down, when everything is wrapped up. It's going to be Jesus Christ. It's going to be Jesus Christ. It's going to be Jesus Christ. He's the one that everybody is going to answer to. The scripture tells us that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord. There's no way around that. The scripture never said that you're going to, it's your religion, it's your denomination, it's what you do, all of this. It's not about that. It's about Jesus Christ, the word of the living God. And that's what the Lord and Savior focused on in Philadelphia, their relationship with him through his word. God wants a relationship with him. And it's through his word. When you get the word of God in you, things that is not, that God doesn't want or is contrary to God, when you get into the word of God and start to study it and get it the way you should, do you know a lot of things that you do that's not pleasing to God? Don't you know that those things are going to fall off your life if you're sincere? If you have truly repented and accepted the Lord as Savior, and those things that are pleasing to God, that is what's going to build up in your life. That's what's going to grow in your life. The fruits of the Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit, they will grow in your life as you grow in the Word of God. You will become more and more like Christ. The mind, that carnal mind, will cease. And the mind of Christ will grow and grow in you, and you will desire to please our living God, because you love him and you seek him through his word, which is life, which is bread, which is everything that you need in this natural life. You can get it through his word. You can get it through Christ Jesus. You can get it through the Spirit of the living God. You notice I said that you need, not everything that you want, because some of the things that we want will destroy us. God has that wisdom and knowledge to know what will help us and what will hurt us, and it's not his desire that we be hurt. spiritually. It's not his desire that we be destroyed. His desire is that we have life and that we have that life abundantly. Amen. Praise the Lord. We want to thank everyone for listening to our program on today, the Church of Philadelphia Revelation. So we're going to end in prayer. Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we thank you, Lord, for everyone that listened to the program. Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we ask that you touch all the listeners out there and give them the revelation of your word to each and every one of them in what particular state they are in. We ask that you bless them, that you touch their minds and their hearts, body, soul, and spirit, and strengthen them, Father, in the things that you would have them to be strong in. Touch them, Lord, and guide them in the way that you would have them to go. In their individual ministries, touch them, Father. Strengthen them, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Touch them, Lord, that your anointing will flow through them, that the word of God be made manifest more and more in and through them, that the revelation of your word become clearer and clearer in and through them, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. We come against every foul, hindering spirit. We come against every spirit that would try to steal the word of God out of their minds and their heart. We bind it up and we cast it out right now by the blood and in the name of Jesus. We come against every infirmity. We come against every infirmity. We bind it up and we cast it out in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. We come against spirits of depression. We come against this spirit, we bind it up, and we cast it out in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And we speak joy. We speak joy. We speak joy of the Spirit of God in their lives, in Jesus' name. Father God, we love you. We praise you. We give you all the honor and the glory. And we thank you, Lord. Father God, we come against all kinds of iniquity. We come against all kinds of iniquity. We bind it up. We cast it out now in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Be gone. Be gone in Jesus' name. We speak sanctification and holiness, maturity, boldness in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Glory to God. Father God, in Jesus' name, we ask right now that you just continue to be with your people. And we thank you for doing it. Continue to strengthen them, Father, in the name of Jesus. Father, we ask that you continue to be with them as we know that you will. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen and amen. Thank you. Bless you. You all be blessed. We look forward to getting back with you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Be blessed, children of the Most High God. Be blessed.